Hello, everyone, and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. on a great Power Friday, where it is time to talk sports with awesome sports facilitator, our sports announcer, our sports teacher. I mean, this man really helps us understand the game and the business behind the game. A number of games. Dr. Mark Nagel is joining us again. Dr. Nagel, how have you been?
I've been good. Thanks for having me on the show.
It is always my pleasure. And I want to ask you, Dr. Nagel, where do we start? Do we start with what is happening right now, the Olympics, and then eventually come back to the Super Bowl? Or do we start with the past Super Bowl and then make our way up to the Olympics?
Why don't we talk about the Olympics first? Because that's ongoing as we speak. There's events that are going on. So that's probably the most top of mind.
I love it. Okay. So what do we have going? What are we watching? What watching for? What's been happening already?
Well, I think there's a couple things, and certainly those of you that are listening that were night owls, I was able to stay up and watch. I think the women's hockey was a game that was really, really interesting, the gold medal game between the United States and Canada. Not a lot of Americans saw it because with the Olympics being in Korea, which I'll talk about a little bit more in depth in a second, but it was a great game because Canada had basically had the United States number for the last couple of Olympics, and the United States was able to take an early lead, fall behind, and then withstand a flurry after tying it, getting it into a shootout, winning in a shootout. So I think that was probably one of the most exciting things in the Olympics for the last week and a half. Unfortunately, it was basically on at 1:30 in the morning Eastern time. So a lot of people missed it.
A lot of people missed it, but our ladies brought home the gold with that one, didn't they?
Yeah, and I think that made up for, certainly hockey is one of the most popular Winter Olympic sports from the American perspective, and our men's team, you know, playing without our NHL stars and you know, playing with a lot of nondescript players didn't have a great Olympic tournament by what I think most Americans would like to see us on the medal stand or competing for the gold. But you know, so the women's hockey I think did well. I think we're seeing, like everything else in the Olympics, there's so many different events. You know, Americans that are playing or competing very well in certain sports, and in other sports, you know, we continue to struggle in some of the Nordic events, biathlon and ski jumping and some of those other events that, Scandinavian countries and Germany and so forth seem to dominate. But I think the interesting thing about the Winter Olympics is what's happening with the ratings. And I think we've seen two things. The ratings are down a little bit. And I think part of that is a question of how much of that deals with the fact that it's in a really bad spot as far as American viewing, because we're halfway around the world from Korea. But I think the other question is how much of that is just the continued decline of sports ratings in a lot of other sports and a lot of other leagues, where the public is becoming more and more disinterested. And what we've seen is just micro fragmenting of viewership and consumption through the media of just about every type of product. And so, you know, I think that continues a trend for the Olympics. I think the big question will be how much of that is because people are not as interested in the Olympics, and how much of that is just because, you know, the best events, if you want to watch them live, you've got to basically stay up overnight to see them on the East Coast. So I think that's a question I don't know that anybody necessarily knows the answer to, but it's certainly been a question on the minds of people in the Olympics in regards to the business of it.
And you make a good point, too, Dr. Nagel, when you mention the fact that it seems like sports seems to be taking a hit. Even aside from the Olympics, you know, we were reading and hearing about some of the major changes that ESPN is taking when it comes to cuts because of the drops in ratings.
Yeah, and I think we've just seen, you know, those of us that are old enough to remember the old days of TV, which really wasn't that long ago, but, you know, 30 years ago, you might have 15 channels, and then we got to, you know, 20, 25 years ago with the advent of cable, you had 100 channels, and now with the advent of mobile devices, you have unlimited channels, and you have on-demand programming, and so whatever you want to watch, you can watch just about at any time. And I think what's happened with sports, even though sports has been able to hold an audience certainly a lot better than a lot of other non-sports programming, is it's just like anything else. Unless you're really, really interested in figure skating or in the luge or in hockey, or for that matter, the NFL or anything else, unless you really, really are part of that niche marketplace, you know, there's other things you can go to consume either on TV or on your mobile device. Anywhere, anytime. And so I think it's an interesting, perplexing question that everybody that's involved in media has. which is basically how do we slow down this decrease in ratings? And the ESPN case is very, very interesting because, you know, their ratings have been dropping tremendously, and their revenue model is built off of not just ratings for advertising, but also based off of subscriptions. And with more and more people cutting the cord and basically saying, I don't want to have a cable subscription or a satellite subscription, you know, you've lost a big chunk of revenue that was coming in every month that is no longer there.
And a lot of this has to do with people saying, too, I don't want the cable bill.
Right.
And so they're finding other ways to work around that, and it's costing them less, but it's costing the companies a lot more in those losses.
We are undergoing an interesting transformation, and I think we've seen this in some ways with Netflix. But I think this is where we're going with cable eventually, which is we're going to be getting away from the all-in-one package. You know, I've got to pay $69.95, and then I get 200 channels on cable, and I watch 8 of them, or I watch 6 of them, or I watch 12 of them, and 175 channels that I have never are seen. And I think what's happening is more and more customers are saying, you know, I like the Netflix model better, where I pay a small fee, and then I consume what I want when I want it. You know, why do I have to pay? And if I'm not a sports fan, I'm going to cut the cord because one of the most expensive things on the cable bill is going to be derived from ESPN and other sports programming. So it's an interesting question to know where we're going to be in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. But I think there's no doubt we're moving more towards this niche marketplace where you're not going to see the old days of today, which is basically bundling of 200 channels, and you have to buy all 200. I think consumers are going to keep cutting the cord.
Yeah, I agree. And they're going to have to make some changes. You know, I wanted to ask if we could revisit one of the earlier starting points of the discussion today, too, because I was excited about the fact that our ladies brought home the gold in hockey. And you mentioned Canada really had their number for several years. Were you able to determine what changes took place with the American team that enabled them to go ahead and bring home the gold this time?
Well, you hate to use the word luck. You know, we played really well against Canada in the World Championships. You know, I think a lot of times people forget that in various sports they do have worldwide competitions each year. It's just that we tend to focus every 4 years on the Olympic Games and make that the be-all, end-all. So I think a lot of it was just playing a little bit better and getting a little bit luckier. You know, we had lost a few games to Canada in the previous Olympics where we had a really good chance to win. We had beaten Canada in the World Championships a few times the last couple of years and where they had a chance to win. And I think, you know, people that don't know hockey may not understand that, you know, essentially play in the Olympic format. You play each other and you play each other, and then when the game is over, you don't necessarily keep playing overtime forever. You know, in the National Hockey League in the playoffs, you can have overtime and overtime and overtime, and the game could go on, you know, for an hour extra or 2 hours extra. You just keep playing. Well, in the Olympic format, after a certain point, they basically go to what's called a shootout. And shootouts are basically a certain number of players on each team gets the puck one-on-one against the goalie, and if you score, you get a point, and if you don't, you don't. And essentially, after a certain period of time of doing this, they declare who the winner of the Olympic Games is based upon that shootout. And that's a really, really big deal as far as luck, because you know, you could just barely miss a shot, you could just barely make a shot. And so, you know, I don't know that we necessarily did a lot better. We certainly have played better, but anytime you get into a shootout, there's the forces of luck, and it was nice finally for the sun to shine on the Americans in some of these big Olympic games where it's really almost always shown, you know, on the Canadians the last couple times.
You were talking too about some of the Nordic competitors and where we may not be faring as well. And of course, Lindsey Vonn brought home the bronze, but she's saying that she wants to continue doing her thing until she is finally the queen. She will have won more than any other female in her sport.
It's amazing to see what she's done, and you start to look and see when did she first win her first medal, and that was many Olympics ago. And she's already one of the oldest competitors ever to win a medal in an alpine, you know, in the downhill. I hope that she keeps playing as long as she can. I think, you know, once you stop playing at a high level, you know, it's a weird career choice, because once you're 30, once you're 35, it's over and you can't compete at that high level. So, you know, God bless her ability to keep going out there and to come back from the injuries she's had.
Yes.
And, I hope that she keeps going as long as she's physically able to.
And she's what, 33 now?
I believe she's 33, yeah. So that would be, it's really, we're in uncharted waters with a 33-year-old competing in the downhill skiing event and the other alpine skiing events. But man, if she's able to come back at 37 and compete in the next Winter Olympics, that will be an unbelievable story.
Yes, sir.
Just making the team in 4 years would be phenomenal at that age. Mm-hmm. And then to be able to compete for a medal would be outworldly. So
Lindsey Vonn, we're rooting for you. When we come back, where are you going to take us, Dr. Nagel?
Well, we probably should talk a little about the Super Bowl and just kind of where the state of the NFL is, and that might be something that your listeners are interested in.
That's a winner. I don't know how many of you were rooting for Philly, how many of you were rooting for Mr. Brady and company. Either way, it was an exciting game. Stay with us. Dr. Nagel and I will be right back.